It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Every year around this time, we invite the new board chair of the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors to look ahead to the new year and recap the board workshop in which priorities and goals are set for the coming 12 months. This time around, it was held in early January. District 5 Supervisor Jaron Brandon is the board chair for 2025, joining us today. Good morning, Supervisor Brandon.
BJ, good morning. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, so it seems like before we get into the board workshop, a lot has happened in the first few weeks that you've been the board chair of the Board of Supervisors. You know, first off, I'm curious your reaction being board chair, and it was a little less dramatic this time around.
Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful January. And I'm very appreciative to have the confidence of my colleagues. I think we're off to a strong start. And, you know, the role of the chair, we're first among equals. You know, my job is to help facilitate a dialogue and a team dynamic as we're trying to get towards accomplishing our goals and provide direction that's clear to staff, communicate with the public. It's not to be the person saying everything that has to happen right now, but it's simply to help lead our group. So it's an honor, it's a privilege, and I'm certainly enjoying it and enjoying that it's not as dramatic as maybe it's been in the past.
Yeah, so you're the new board chair, and at the most recent meeting, the CAO, Tracy Riggs, issued a resignation after the meeting. What can you tell us about this and kind of the plan moving forward with that CAO position?
Yeah, absolutely. So we put out a press release, and since it's a personnel matter, you know, that's kind of where we leave it to, is that effective immediately and according to the contract, CAO Riggs has taken her leave on that. Currently, Roger Root, who was the assistant county administrative officer, he's now serving as acting. And other than that, it's business as usual at the county. So we're focused very much on the budget discussions that starts now a little bit earlier. We're getting to jump on it, but really into March for the fiscal year, which of course is mid-year, not with the calendar. We're continuing to, you know, work on all of our priorities. We're in the middle of a two-year kind of priority list, and I think evaluating that. And what it looks like for a CAO recruitment in the future, you know, we want to know what skills we need in that office. We need to know, you know, what candidates are available. So the board hasn't yet decided on a specific process. Things are fine, so we're not in a rush to kind of switch leadership in the middle of a lot of these big decisions that we're doing. But I think when it comes out, we're going to have something that's very clear. We're not in a huge rush with it, but it will be hopefully looking for, I think, all eligible candidates. Seeing what local talent that we might have, being able to do it in a cost-effective way. And most importantly, seeing what this new era of the county looks like and what type of leadership we need from the staff side there. So really, I think it is, at some level, the county turning a page onto a different way of approaching these things. And we're having a lot of other meaningful conversations about what are priorities, how do we structure, how do we create a culture of ideas and innovation. We certainly want somebody that is going to be pushing that message forward.
And then remind me, so Roger Root, who's in that position now, was he previously leading the IT before he went to the CAO's office?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, he was our IT director.
Okay. And also at the last meeting, there was some direction given by the board in regards to looking ahead to cuts with the tough budget times. What can you tell us about the direction that was given to staff by the board?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked before about structural challenges that make Tuolumne County unique financially. People look up the Wayfair decision where even sales tax from online purchases, they're staying at the distribution centers, not to us. You know, TOT's taken some of a hit post-COVID. In addition to that, we constantly have these mandates coming down from the state and the level of service that our constituents expect. We've made huge accomplishments and priority of public safety in particular. And, you know, my thoughts go out to all the victims and the first responders in the Palisades and Malibu area. If anything, this is a lesson that it's not just rural areas. This is a statewide issue and we need to come together on it. But in the past 4 years, we've seen more than doubling of what's available for fire services. We've seen 8 times increase in the capacity being sent to emergency service direction, planning, disaster preparation, and resiliency and risk reduction. We've also seen from some of the worst vacancy in the entire history of law enforcement in Tuolumne County to now a fully staffed sheriff's office with the narcotics team taking on fentanyl, drug labs, drug sales within the area, and the DA prosecuting those very strongly. So we put a lot of money there. To what I think our community wants and what we need, we have to balance a budget. Some people think we might be the national government. We can run a deficit, print money. We cannot print money. Every year, the budget has to be balanced. And we always go through a process of efficiencies and cuts and consolidations and whatnot. It's generally pretty quiet. But what we're doing with this is giving direction to all non-public safety general fund departments that we are seeking ideas on how to see a 15% reduction in costs. Part of that could be positions, costs, programs, scrubbing the budget, as we say, for anything that was, small amounts that can kind of add up to a bit. But also structurally, who can we partner with? What efficiencies can we implement with modern, software services, automated workflows? How can we serve people better in a more efficient way, get away from, MS-DOS systems and paper time cards and all of that? So really, though, it's coming on having to basically keep the lights on. And that's always hard when we have to talk about cuts. I'm actually very excited because what we're presenting with this as a board, as a staff, is an openness and an invite for ideas, not just from the community, which is always welcome, and the board, but from every staff member of the county, every department head. We all have a shared goal of making a wonderful community that we support with these services, and they're the experts to help get us there. So that's what that is we're going to be in the next couple of weeks soliciting those ideas, consolidating them to kind of deduplicate, get some additional background, and then I think looking at what can we do immediately and what are we going to do over the next year to 3 years as far as structural changes. I think the message is very clear, though. Tuolumne County for a very long time has had structural financial issues and not paid its bills, and that's just racked up debt and maintenance and all kinds of stuff. 4 years of progress on that, which was good, was not enough progress. And we have to fundamentally change something about how we operate. I think this is the path that we need to be on.
When you say 15% to non-public safety, what are the type of things that are kind of under the umbrella of public safety? Under public safety.
So that would be including, for example, all of the sheriff's office and dispatch and DA. A lot of folks see the deputies on the streets, but there's a lot of people that support the justice system. You got to be able to prosecute, investigate. You have bookings deputies. You've got the jail operations. You have dispatch sending folks out. You have communications officers in that. You have probation where you got, post-release and community supervision. We've got juvenile hall as well. There's also the constitutionally mandated public defender's positions, so representation when they're in that court. Mentioned the district attorney's office as well. And then, of course, fire. So fire is a top priority, has been for a long time with the board. We've made really historic progress, 2 stations to 5, more coverage than ever. A lot of our districts are really struggling locally, and so we're kind of coming into backfill, supporting equipment purchases so they're not driving clunkers that break down on the way to a fire. It's continuing to make progress on that. I think we know that the SAFER grant, which helped us to expand these stations, with 3 years of funding is expiring. So we're pursuing all options to try and keep that funded. But we have to keep these fire stations. It's hard and it's expensive and it's difficult with what we're working with. It really is a challenge. This is one of the reasons we had a revenue measure on the ballot was to help cover this. So we're looking at everything that is an uncomfortable, difficult discussion. It's a long time overdue, but we have to invest in the things that keep us from burning down, that keep our community safe, and that are able to protect residents. And I think we've been doing that in a big way. Now we just have to make sure we can sustain it.
So if you're able to find 15% cuts from those other departments, is a situation where it's like, oh, budget problem fixed, or is it more complex and bigger than that?
Oh, it's always more complex. You can kind of break down the budget issue into there's that year-to-year one. Right? We're always dealing with California and mandates, local governments always having to be in that kind of boat. So we've got that problem. We solve those all the time. People don't even know a lot of the stuff that we end up kind of just shifting around or fixing things behind the scenes every single budget. The next bit is these grant stations, which are a pretty big investment. And I think we, you know, are committed to wanting to maintain them to the maximum extent possible, but it really is hard. Firefighting is an expensive profession. The equipment's expensive. The expertise is expensive. The 24/7 coverage is expensive. Station's expensive. So that's another component of it. And then we've got this last bit of some of the, I call them mandatory optionals. You know, you don't have to deal with it any single year, and yet they are something that have to be dealt with. So when we look at unfunded pension liabilities, we're still paying off from the hospital. It's $160 million. And the increase in those payments per year going up about $1 million to $1.5 million, that's an immense amount of financial pressure. We make money by paying off that debt earlier. We also are able to save maintenance when we keep our roads in better condition. So they've gone from 22% condition to 32%. We're no longer the worst in the state, but we still got some $200+ million in deferred maintenance. We need to make down payments on that. They stopped paying for these mandatory optionals in the past, particularly around 2010, and we have to get back to supporting that. So the number of what we need to hit this year, maybe to do the minimum to just survive like we always have, is maybe $3 million. But where we probably need to be at is more like $11 or $12 million. 15% is, again, give us your best ideas. We're going to try and do this in the most organized way. I don't think it's going to necessarily hit the target, but it gives us a really good starting point with the best ideas possible. This won't be a one-year budget discussion. You can't cut your way out of this. You have to invest in certain areas. Truly, revenue growth is going to be what I think saves this county, is how do we get housing? How do we get business going again? How do we get investment and utilities and zoning and all of those things reformed? When we hit that, we can grow a way out. But that is not on a one-year time period. It's not on a four-year time period. So we're going to keep trucking away at it.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking to Supervisor Jaron Brandon, who is the board chair for 2025 in Tuolumne County on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. There is a new chair of the Board of Supervisors in Tuolumne County. Jaron Brandon is leading the supervisors in 2025. He's joining us on this weekend show to get us caught up to speed on local government happenings. We're also going to talk a little bit about the offsite event, the workshop that is held at the beginning of each year where the new board members got together to talk about goals and priorities. But Supervisor Brandon, before we get into that, I want to ask you a little bit more. You were talking about new revenue sources. It kind of ties into economic development you'd like to see a little bit more of in Tuolumne County. What can you kind of tell us about the current status, what we have with projects right now, and just kind of looking out on the horizon?
Oh, yeah. We're, to be honest, you know, we're in a really exciting period. You know, for 20 years, basically after 2000, we stopped growing, we stopped investing. I mean, there's so many horror stories of rejecting projects that, like, man, wouldn't we love 2,000 houses now or Ironstone or any of these number of things. We have been spending 4 years reforming a lot of the policies that just didn't make sense. They were a pain to deal with. We had a bad reputation for folks coming in. And now we've made it easier for housing minimum lot sizes, conditional uses to ministerial, you know, streamlined permitting, online permitting, and a bunch more things. Where we're at, I think, is, you know, we've got more leaders who have recently joined the board that have expressed a very strong commitment to be supportive of more housing development, you know, supportive of infrastructure that's needed to sustain, you know, growth, of restoring that kind of natural or organic growth, and then looking at economic projects as well. As I mentioned in the budget, we are not going to cut our way out of this. The only option is to grow our budget, grow our revenue, grow our employment base. I started with housing, and that is just the key fundamental component of it. Get the jobs here at Chicken Ranch or at the Forest Service or the county or any place. And yet, if they're coming in from the valley, we're losing a lot of that opportunity. So we have some really interesting ones. A lot of it is we're kind of a little island out in the mountains. It's making sure we get in front of folks that are looking at these major macroeconomic trends that have money. We're aligning it with where maybe there's tax incentives or a need being produced. And how do we basically bring that here to advertise what either is underutilized or right now non-monetizable? All to say, if we got something that's got value here, somebody wants it, and we have to go get it to the right person. It's an immense process of outreach. This morning, I met with GoBiz. We've been meeting with a number of kind of state agencies. The Economic Development District, I'll likely be chair of this year. Also, the Jobs First region. And we have some just really innovative plans. A region-wide trails system funded by the state, crossing many, many counties. Resort projects, potentially on the 108, 120 type corridors. You know, looking at advanced biomass uses. You know, there's been proposals for residential pellets. We have a green hydrogen pyrolysis looking plant. You got small ag timber that's being built to utilize the success of what we're doing on our forests. We even got folks talking about really cool racetracks to bring people up. We've got interest in hydrogen and ammonia in serving the rest of the state for fuels. I mean, high tech type job sectors, alternative energy as well. You know, to what it is, I think the best policymakers, we should be politics agnostic to an extent. We're looking at where the money and interest is and trying to velvet glove and support, showing that Tuolumne County actually is a really great place to invest. Those 20 years that we sucked, frankly, we were terrible to deal with. We chased a lot of people out. Is 20 years of opportunity and good ideas that have just been sitting there, that if we can package up and get in the right hands in front of the right people, could be something that creates the 40, 50 jobs that support families here, supports a whole new industry opening up. And then I think, you know, there's a lot of conversations with SBDC and others is that small businesses on our main streets are the backbone of who we are. How do we support these folks in terms of providing them better connection and tools to the resources available, more customers here? How do we make sure that Visit Tuolumne is advertising and bringing folks up to this region? It's a lot of very exciting discussions and a lot of interest. What the county has to do, in my opinion, though, is we can't simply be passive in waiting for projects to come forward and vote yes. We're doing that. We're very supportive of projects. We have to invest, even in a time of cuts, in things that will generate revenue, that will streamline policies, that build the infrastructure so we're away from a moratorium, be able to apply for grants, go to conferences and trade shows, bring that money back here. And that's a really hard thing to do. So invite anybody, if you know someone that wants to invest, everyone from the baker that I talked to just a couple days ago, all the way up to a big hydrogen ammonia plant, send them to us and let us know what we can do to be of service and be easy to work with, because we have a lot of opportunity.
Let's get into the board workshop a little bit. It was held over 2 days in early January. It was the first time for you and the two new board members, Steve Griefer and Mike Holland, and well as the existing members, Ryan Campbell and Anaya Kirk, to kind of get together and talk for an extended period of time. How did that go, and what was kind of the highlights?
Absolutely. It's kind of weird because I got elected as one of the younger folks that are in county offices. And now in some ways I get to be one of the older guys that's been on the board for a while. I can't tell you that I've been so pleased with the new blood that we've had on the board and the dynamic, which has been open and communicative and honest. You know, it's nice to get, different perspectives that join. But more importantly, we're a team that has everything trying to push us, different districts, different constituents, different issues, different times we run in. Can't talk more than two of us at a time because of the Brown Act. It's really complicated. And so building trust and a team dynamic and kind of that shared, we might have different approaches of how to get there. We've got a lot more commonality, and we all want to get to the same place, which is a thriving community. It's really, really important for elected boards. That doesn't always happen. And you can still make things happen with a divided government in that, but it certainly helps to have folks united. So the workshop went great. We had 1 day of being able to have a facilitated conversation about just honest, open communication. What are the challenges? What things have we dealt with in the past that's made it disorganized? Why are we in office? What are we there to do? How do we communicate? And I thought it was one of the most productive ones we've ever had or that I've participated in. I had to go down to the Rural County Association to represent us the second day. But we had numerous discussions with departments coming in to present. You know, the new supervisors are very aware of a lot of the county operations. But this is an opportunity to kind of dive to that next level of things. And I think that was productive as well. We're in the middle of a two-year priority session, so public safety, you know, community prosperity, fire safety, infrastructure investments, and housing, those continue to be our priorities. But coming up, we're soliciting process improvement ideas from every staff member at the county anonymously, all department heads, and all board members. And I will encourage the community, too, if you've got a great idea, send it to us. We will be discussing that in 2, maybe 3 weeks, and that will be a review of, are there any priorities we set that, you know, we like, but maybe they're stalled, maybe we've got higher priorities now, hopefully revise that list to a smaller, more targeted one, and then make this the year of budget. I think this has to be a long-term commitment to an almost separate financial plan that we are going to change the way the county operates to make sure that it's within its means, that it's able to provide the core public safety services, and also embrace and message that there's a reason some of these things haven't been looked at. It's a cost. It's difficult. It involves people's livelihoods, services that they rely on, that we are going to make the hard decisions we have to. But we really welcome input because we really want to have the best options, you know, at our fingertips to try. So all to say, I think it's going really well.
Need to take one more break. Talking to Supervisor Jaron Brandon, who is a new board chair for Tuolumne County. He represents District 5 in Tuolumne County on the Board of Supervisors.
A programming note, next week on Motherload Views, we're going to take a look back at the historic football seasons in Tuolumne County. Of course, the Somerville Bears and the Sonora High Wildcats were state champions when in the respective divisions. We're going to be hearing from the football coach at Somerville High School, Sean Leveros, and from Sonora High, Kirk Clifton. They're going to be in studio together recapping the season, looking back about what made those teams so special. Again, that's next week on Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment with Supervisor Brandon is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with the board chair of the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors for 2025, Jaron Brandon. Supervisor Brandon, we talked about a number of topics in the first couple of segments, looking at the budget challenge and challenges and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, are there some other challenges that we haven't talked about yet? It could be budgetary or others for county government that you see on the horizon over this year?
I mean, local government is nothing but challenges, but that's what we get paid to do. We have... you know, in our budget, we had this very good presentation Tuesday ago, a couple Tuesdays, 85-page financial report that I know a number of the board members have been asking for, including myself and Supervisor Kirk. And it's really good to see it all laid out because that's the stuff we get paid and our staff to have to deal with. Most people have better things to do with their life than dive into all these budget meetings. But if you're curious, I really encourage looking at it, where we've got 65% of our budget going to public safety of discretionary services, the limitations on a lot of these fundings of where it can go, basic operational expenses and mandates that when you start diving into a $300 million budget, but realizing how much we actually have control over, especially when you remove public safety from that, it is a much more limited pool than most people realize. And we went through that with Standard Park, where there's a lot of concern about raising the fees as, you know, we're trying to generate revenue for other stuff. And really, it was recognizing in some education that only about 25% of the cost of the park was covered under those fees. It was operated at a massive loss. And in order to sustain what we need to do to fix the irrigation and stands and just provide those services for kids and families, to sustain those things, we need help. And we're looking at that for a lot of our services. I think on the horizon, we still have obviously the issue with fire insurance. And hopefully, as rural counties, We have been shouting and yelling and organizing about this forever, but we know we are not the major population or money or vote center in the state. So I said, it's a tragedy what is happening in Southern California. But I hope that it is an opportunity that coming out of this, we realize it's a statewide issue, that the Democratic and Republican caucuses in the state will call attention to this in the budget. I know our representatives have rallied, especially, I believe, Assemblyman David Tangipa, who's been very, very close contact with our county, to call a special session. We got to fix the insurance market. If there was a straw that broke the camel's back, this is a log that's breaking it, right? This is potentially a $250 billion liability. The state has to step in. It's no longer an over there problem in the rural areas. And I hope that they will give it the attention it deserves, because right now people are being priced out of their homes. So that one is absolutely, I think, on the forefront. And the last bit is, we just went through an election. Obviously, there's a lot of feelings of joy, but also hurt, you know, depending on where folks are with that. It's coming together to rally behind whatever opportunities present themselves. There's going to be a lot of changes, I think, at the federal level. There will be changes also at the state level. And ensuring that we're still handling the day-to-day government. We are looking and advocating, regardless of who sits in any office, for all the opportunities. And I think there will be some coming up, particularly in our public lands and fire response. FEMA has been a big issue post-disaster, to make sure that our community is building up stronger. So there's a lot on the horizon. That's just scratching the surface. If I could give a closing message on it, it's things are good. And I think, again, it's a new era for county government. We have been making progress, but we have a real opportunity here to do things differently. And I'm so excited with the folks that I get to sit at the dais and be in that position with. And it's an open invite to anybody that meaningfully, constructively wants to join, that has ideas, that wants to sit at the table. We need you, and we need your help. We need your brain. We need your ideas. Join in, because it's all of our community, and we all basically, we succeed or fail together. I really want to see us succeed.
With that fire insurance issue, is there concern at all? It seems like early on, or in recent years, the narrative was Tuolumne County is maybe getting unfairly picked on, mm-hmm. but now we're seeing this massive fire in LA. You know, is there concern like, oh, this is just going to get worse and worse now, as opposed to better?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if what's happening in Southern California effectively bankrupts the California insurance system. They were marginally holding on and reestablishing some companies. And I think we've seen pretty milquetoast reforms at the insurance commissioner's office that have dodged around the issue, have not led the executive and legislative branch to the solutions that we need. And it's extremely frustrating. So, this is breaking it open, which is at least an opportunity to say what we're doing is not working. The problem is there are billions and billions of dollars available when the bad, you know, worst thing happens, when the catastrophe happens. And yet we put so little into supporting people to fix their homes, fire harden, to make our community safer, to put egress routes. And I think that's because, again, we're the small area of the state. We're the over there issue. It's not the over air issue. Over their issue when it hits LA and the core of LA, a place we thought couldn't hit it. So, again, in everything, there's an opportunity. I hope that our leaders and my colleagues down there and our colleagues in the state, they ask us, because we got an early shot out of the bow in 2013 with Rimfire. We have been working aggressively with limited resources to make such a difference here. With the right resources, I think we can help provide input and guide as rural counties that have struggled with it, to make sure that our urban counterparts know how to rebuild, know how to be resilient, but also hopefully will work with us on how do we prevent this from happening in the future. Of all the natural disasters that exist out there, catastrophic wildfire is one of the ones that we actually can do something about. There's no stopping an earthquake or a tsunami or a hurricane coming through. We can make it so catastrophic wildfire is manageable. We can do the prescribed burns and fuel thinning and fire hardening to make it like rain is to a flood, regular fire to what catastrophic fire has been. So there's an opportunity, but it's sad that the only way it seems is in a crisis that sometimes these things come up. And I'm really grateful that and proud our firefighters are down there on the front lines with them, supporting their services, backfilling it here. We're a part of it. We're all part of the same state, same air, same resources. And we just want them to see that too.
Run out of time. Supervisor Brandon, thanks for coming in today.
BJ, thank you so much.
Again, that was Supervisor Jaron Brandon, the new board chair for the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors for 2025. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.